In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
7:03 in the AM, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Baltimore Orioles getting ready to take on the Los Angeles Dodgers in the first of a 3-game set. Cole Irvin on the mound against Mr. Flaherty, Jack Flaherty. Flaherty on the season is 10-5 with an ERA of 3. Cole Irvin, 6-5, ERA of 4.82. And this is a game between two teams approaching 80 wins. The Dodgers were 78. The Orioles were 76. This could be, I mean, we called the Orioles-Phillies matchup. Remember they were calling that big, possibly a World Series preview?
Mm-hmm.
This is another possible World Series preview, even though the Dodgers aren't going to make it.
Both game one starters there with Cole Irvin. And, so this is the one scary pitching matchup that you have because – and look,
because it's Cole Irvin.
Well, yeah, it's because it's Cole Irvin, and Jack Flaherty does not look like the Jack Flaherty you saw last year. He's been great this year. He looks like when he was first called up with the Cardinals and he kind of caught fire and they were like, oh, we've got ourselves a special player. And he's kind of figured it out since coming back from injury and looking awful last year. And you're going to trot out. So the Dodgers are going to see, and it's scary, Cole Irvin and Cade Povich in this series. And I don't know if this is scary for you or not, but they're also going to see Corbin Burns right in the middle. And
who's not been doing well.
Yeah, I mean, his last start wasn't bad. It's just we expected him to like come out and be great in that start, but he put a lot of guys on base and he gave up a couple runs, which wasn't the norm for him. But the three previous starts, he gave up 15 runs in 3 games. So I don't know what to expect there. You're going to see Walker Buehler, who isn't quite back yet.
This is his last start, Jeremy. He gave up 5 earned runs.
Was it end up being 5?
Yeah, against the Astros.
Okay.
I mean, look it up. I'm thinking it's 5. I'll look it up.
You're there. I'm not there.
I'm pretty sure it was 5 earned runs.
I thought he had 2. Did he get pulled and somebody gave up his last runs, or did he give them up? Anyway, it doesn't matter.
5 2/3, 5 earned runs, 6 total, 8 hits, 2 strikeouts, 2 walks.
Maybe I misinterpreted what that error was and what he gave up. But anyway, so yeah, he's been bad in his last 4 starts, so it makes it even worse now. Thanks, Rob. Thanks for kicking everyone while they're down. Because this Dodgers team's lineup is just now getting healthy. It's a devastating lineup. They finally released some of the dead weight they had at the bottom that they had to get through, but Otani's healthy, Betts is healthy, Freeman's healthy, Will Smith is healthy, Max Muncy's back. I mean, that's their top 5 hitters, and it's devastating. So
they are the video game that you put together. Yeah. You draft your own team, and people tell you, you can't get all those people on one team.
Yeah.
That's what they are.
And they're also the team that you cannot let the bottom of the lineup beat you. You have to make sure those guys are not the guys beating you, because then you can try to work your way through that top of the lineup. And it's sometimes easier said than done. It's a very good hitting lineup, but they're pitching a little wanting. Again, you'll see Walker Buehler tomorrow. He's not quite all the way back. And then on Thursday, it's Bobby Miller who, I mean, I think you got 2 young pitchers going on Thursday. That should be a fun game. But I'm just hoping the Orioles go out there. Like, I know everybody wants them to take 2 out of 3. Don't get swept. And I know that's not the mindset you want, but you don't have the best matchups coming in.
I think
they do.
You don't.
So you want to be able to steal one there, and hopefully Corbin Burns looks like Corbin Burns we saw earlier this year.
This is what scares me, and I know Burns is not pitching tonight, but I got to put this in here now. This is what scares me. In April, Burns' ERA for the month, 2.76. Good, right?
Mm-hmm.
In May, 2.17. Even better. In June, even better. 2.12. Great. Then, July, 3.09 for the month. So far this month, 8.71.
Yeah.
He's going in the opposite direction. And it goes back to what I said to you before. You know, I mean, it's the whole more strikeouts than any pitch to me mattered. It did. I mean, his first month, he had 24 strikeouts and 29 in the third innings pitch. Not bad. Not a bad balance. Second month, 36 strikeouts and 37 in the third innings pitch. June, 28 strikeouts and 34 innings pitched. And he just kept going down and down. And now it's like 18 strikeouts. And I mean, just it's piling up to where he's a different pitcher. And I think maybe Corbin Burns is at the point of his career, Jeremy, where he's figuring out another way to get outs. And maybe he's having some problems with it because he's not getting the strikeouts like he used to get.
Might be. I mean, this might be just one of those stretches. But again, a lot of times with pitchers of this caliber, when you have a stretch like this, it usually has an IL stint, right? Like, even if it's just to kind of get your mind right and get you away, maybe you run into that dead arm phase. Maybe there's a pitch that's not working. I don't know. I'm not privy to that info. You can watch it and figure it out yourself, or at least try to. But I'd say this, like, he can't have an IL stint now because of all the things that have gone on. He's got to figure this out. And there are a lot of guys that get to a point of their career, and I'm not saying he's quite there, but it does look like it from what we've seen the past four games. You got to reinvent yourself. I mean, we all laughed at Zach Greinke. Remember, people forget he was a Cy Young flamethrower that was having an ERA around 2.
Yep.
And then he hung around. And then at the end of his career, his fastball was like 86 miles an hour, you know? But he figured out a way, even though it wasn't great, to be able to continue pitching in this league.
And I'm just wondering whether or not Burns is at that time, that point of his career where he's got to figure it out.
Could be. I mean, again,
I'm not saying he's done because I don't think he's done at all. I'm just thinking, Jeremy, when you used to be able to blow it by people to get strikeouts, and now some of those pitches aren't strikeouts, am I wrong to say you got to figure something else out because you're not striking guys out like you used to? You still got to get those outs. Those outs are no longer strikeouts.
Yeah. I would tend to agree with that, too. It's like when you're so accustomed to being out, what did we say about Corbin Burns? First and third, no outs. He's the type of guy that's going to get two strikeouts and a pop-up. Strikeout.
He's not getting those two strikeouts anymore. Yeah. So when you're getting a fly ball and a run scores on a tag up, I mean, that matters. By the way, Zach Greinke pitched 20 years to the tune of a 3.49 earned run average.
Think about how amazing that is, and then go factor in his last 4 years.
Oh, my God. Yeah, because his last 4 years were 4.03, 4.16, 3.68, 5.06. So those were his ERA was 3.49, and his last four years were horrible.
Yeah.
Before that, in 2019, was 2.93.
So, and jeez. By the way,
1 year he led the league in ERA with the Dodgers at 1.66.
He had a social anxiety disorder.
Yes.
Like, it's so funny. You go look up, you know how we talk about the Ricky Henderson quotes?
Uh-huh.
You got to go look up some of the Zach Greinke quotes. He was talking to somebody on the team about having pets. And he goes, anyone that has cats is just crazy, like bat-ass crazy. And so he's talking to his teammate, and he goes, you got any pets? He goes, yeah, I got a dog. And then he looks back at Zach. He goes, what about you? You got any pet? He said, yeah, I got a couple cats. He's the one that said people that own cats are crazy. And this guy, at one point, there's a former Oriole that told me at one point when Zach had a breakdown, he was playing with Tonka trucks at first base and just riding them around in the dirt as a grown man.
Let me ask you this, man.
Uh-huh.
How are your numbers? Who the hell had a better year than this? In 2015 with the Dodgers, he was 19-3.
He's amazing.
1.66 earned run average, 222 innings pitched, 200 strikeouts. He led the league in the ERA. He led the league in ERA plus at 222. His FIP was 2.76. His whip led the league at 0.844. So he led the league in win percentage, ERA, ERA plus, and whip. And didn't win a Cy Young Award. Who won a Cy Young Award in the National League in 2015? What were his numbers?
Was it Kershaw? Was it his teammate?
He went 19-3 and led the league in 2015.
2015 Cy Young.
He won a Cy Young in 2009 with KC.
Oh, Jake Arrieta won it that year.
What did Jake Arrieta have?
Remember, that was his year that he was just so dominant.
But yeah, okay. What was the ERA? Here, wasn't better than this guy's.
I think it may have been.
No, it was. He led the league in ERA, 1.66.
Okay, maybe it wasn't. Maybe it's really close. Here we go. So you said 2015?
Yes.
He started 33 games. He had an ERA of 1.77.
Okay, how many wins?
Where are we at? 22-6.
There you go.
229 innings pitched, 236 Ks with 48 walks.
There you go. There you go.
Remember what they kept saying in Baltimore? He's got the best stuff on the roster. He's like, I don't see it. I don't see it. It just took a trip to Iowa to fix this a-hole.
Barbershop topic at a day at 7:30. But on the other side, is the aura around Scott Boras fading? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. 7:18 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
So I'm looking up all these Zach Greinke stories, and I know this is bleeding over. Trevor Plouffe told this great story about running into Zach Greinke on vacation.
Okay.
Former he calls games now for the Twins. And Greinke goes, he goes to introduce himself, and he goes, "Hey, you hit a homer off me once, didn't you?" And he's like, "I don't think I did." He said, "I think I'd remember that." No, I think you hit a homer off me. So then Trevor Plouffe is like, "I don't think I did. I'll look it up." So then he goes and looks it up. He's 1-for-9 with 4 Ks. And he goes back to Greinke and he's like, "Hey, I just wanted to let you know I didn't homer off you." And he goes, "Oh, that's right. You were a really easy player." And then turns back around and has dinner with his family. Like, that's it. He's, again, he's a very interesting guy and probably one of the most fun guys to interview. But
he sounds like a Richard sometimes, though.
Oh, yeah. On purpose. He's a national treasure.
Who are the Scott Boras clients with the Baltimore Orioles?
Well, I mean, we know Gunnar Henderson, Jackson Holliday.
I don't think Jackson Holliday is.
I thought Holliday was.
Is he? He may be. I didn't think he was. I know, isn't Jordan Westberg?
Yes, I think that's another one.
Yeah. So, and we know that, you know, the guy drives a hard bargain. I mean, let's be honest with you. He if I was a Major League Baseball player, I'd want Scott Boras as my agent.
Mm-hmm.
I would, because he represents well. Typically, he gets what he wants, and he gets the best offer for his clients, right? But you kind of wonder if maybe the aura around him is starting to fade a little bit. The four guys he represented in the offseason didn't do their best. You know, you look at Blake Snell, Jordan Montgomery, Matt Chapman, Cody Bellinger. They didn't get, in my opinion, what I would consider to be Boras-like deals. The two pitchers in particular, they have different opinions. Montgomery says, "I don't know, obviously Boras kind of butchered it, so I'm just trying to move on from the offseason and try to forget it."
So here's a list of guys. I don't have the Orioles when I'm still looking for that, but just to your point.
Corbin Burns is too.
Yeah. The top got Max Scherzer, Bryce Harper, Carlos Correa, Garrett Cole, A-Rod. You mentioned Snell, Corey Seager, Cody Bellinger, Juan Soto, Altuve. He's got the top guys in the league, right. A lot of them.
Right. And he's been that guy. Blake Snell says, "My experience with Scott has been great. He told me everything that was happening, all the offers I got. So for him to just get bashed for what I believe is false, that's not fair at all. I really strongly believe that." So he has two guys on two opposite ends of the spectrum. Maybe the difference was expectations between the two of these guys. Do you think there's a chance that maybe the aura around him is fading?
I mean, look, there's the possibility. If you look at this past offseason, it's an example where he was playing games and it didn't necessarily work out for his two guys. And you're talking about an NL Cy Young winner that really wanted to make a lot of money. But if you looked at it, you look deeper into the numbers, you're going, he's good. But do I, if I pay him the type of money he wants, I've got to pay somebody in to come in after him and eat up some more innings, because he's usually going to get me 5 innings of work with,
right,
Blake Snell.
Right.
Same thing with Jordan Montgomery. He comes off a World Series win and people go, okay, but is that really who he is? Is that who he's going to be moving forward? And they didn't get the type of money they thought they were going to get. They both hold out. They come into the season late. Both end up struggling initially, then hit the IL for a long period of time, then come back. And so Montgomery's comments didn't surprise me, but I think it's an easy way to get out. I'm like, oh, man, my agent screwed this up. Like, if I'd have signed, I'd have been fine at the beginning of the year if I'd have got a real spring training.
Right.
So I don't know.
So you either one is all right. Blake Snell probably more realistic about where he was,
mm-hmm,
and thought, man, that was a pretty good deal. See, I think Scott Boras, I don't think it really the aura is really fading around him as much as maybe baseball is getting to be more of a slot sport. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know how the top pitchers, you know where they're slotted. You know where the top sluggers are slotted. And everybody else falls beneath that. And I think baseball is kind of dictating its own salary. They created their own salary slots.
Mm-hmm.
You know? They are. So what Boris wants is what Boris wants. You can only sign for that type of money if the teams are competing against one another. So, if all the teams are telling you the same thing, then there's no competition.
I'll give you an example. All these people that keep bringing up, like, why haven't they signed Gunnar? Why haven't they done this? Why haven't the Yankees signed Juan Soto?
Yeah.
That's a Boris client. Why haven't they signed? Because he wants to compete against other teams. And once you get to it, and I've had a lot of people say, well, then just overwhelm him with cash. Well, how much is going to...
You don't think teams have overwhelmed Juan Soto with cash?
Of course.
What the Nationals offered him... What did the Nationals offer him before they traded him? What, like $300 million back before?
$350.
Before people were signing for four.
Yeah.
They offered him $350. He said no. And folks, again, this was before people were signing for $400 million. And they offered him like $350. He said no. Why? Because he realizes if I have teams competing against one another, I'm going to make more than that. Yeah. What I'm making in arbitration is fine. I can live off of that. I can live off of it. But what I'm going to make after I become a free agent, I'm really going to live off of that.
See, I think if I'm one of the top tier guys, that's when I want Boris, because he's going to get me everything that I deserve. It's the smaller.
If you're not top tier, why? Well, why bother?
Well, I mean, it's not a why bother, but look. We all saw Jerry Maguire, right? The movie, and I'm not trying to compare this. That was loosely based on what was the baseball? God, now I can't think of the guy's name.
The football.
No, the agent that was a big-time baseball, and I can't remember the guy's name, even though it was loosely based off of his life. It'll come to me in a second. Anyway, but you're seeing, like, Tom Cruise as he's trying to get this one guy. He was going after that star quarterback that Jerry O'Connell was playing in the movie. He's like, oh, we got to get him. And he misses out on him and winds up with another player, and then he develops this relationship, builds it. I think when you look at some of these guys, too, you always, as a player... Lee Steinberg, that's him. You have to wonder if you're going to play, you know, if you're going to be left on the back burner so he can focus on the big guy.
Well, he missed out on the quarterback because the dad said you were over there talking to that black guy.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
Rob, you complete me.
Did he not say that?
Yes.
By the way, Juan Soto's money in arbitration, $8.5 million, $17.1 million. $23 million this year, $31 million. Why am I in a hurry?
That's ridiculous.
My career earnings have only already over $80 million. Why on earth will I be in a hurry when I know what I'm? You don't think Gunnar Henderson is going to clean up an arbitration?
Yeah,
Gunnar Henderson is going to be one of those $30 million arbitration guys it's all said and
there's
done.
There's no question.
And so why rush?
By the way, who did I say Gunnar Henderson is most comparable to in
Juan
this league?
Juan Soto
when he was coming up. Juan Soto from the ability to hit. The difference is Gunnar can actually field.
Ken McCusick joins us at 8 o'clock, film study for that. But on the other side, did Colorado make the wrong move by banning a reporter, actually a columnist, from the press conferences? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
7:31 in the AM, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. This is according to ESPN. Colorado has banned Denver Post columnist Sean Keeler from asking questions of football coach Deion Sanders or other members of the football program, the school confirmed. And the reason why I keep putting columnists on this, because people are putting reporters on this. And there's a big difference between a reporter and a columnist.
Yep.
There's a difference in their jobs.
Mike Preston's a columnist.
He's a columnist. So this is, and I'm not just talking about our sheet. You see the headline. Headline says that he banned a reporter. That doesn't do justice to what just happened, okay?
Yeah.
After a series, this is according to Colorado, after a series of sustained personal attacks on the football program and specifically Coach Prime, the CU Athletic Department, in conjunction with the football program, have decided not to take questions from Denver Post columnist Sean Keeler at football-related events. Keeler is still permitted to attend football-related activities as a credentialed member of the media, and other reporters from the Denver Post are welcome to ask questions of football program personnel made available to the media, including coaches, players, and staff. Goes on to say the decision comes 2 weeks after a news conference in which Sanders accused Keeler of, quote, always being on attack, and asked, quote, what happened to get you like this? Added Sanders, no, I'm serious. I want to help because it's not normal. Jeremy, you're sitting here rolling your eyes, man. Go ahead. Well,
He's just showing the thing that I've known for years. Deion's an a-hole, and this is BS. He needs to grow the hell up. And the fact of the matter, to ban a reporter, to ban a columnist from coming. Do you remember his first year at Colorado after they picked up that win and he started questioning reporters in
yep,
the room?
Yep.
You're either with us or against us. No. I cover the team. I write what I see. If I'm with you, then I'm not writing anything negative. It's just he has a vision of how he wants things to be. And because it's not, and this is the most attention some sorry-ass four-win football team has ever gotten in my life, man. I'm so sick of this nonsense. And you know what's going to happen? He's going to bail as soon as his kids leave and go somewhere else. He's not a good football coach. He had been good at recruiting people, but he's an a-hole. And this is another one of those aspects of it because somebody called him Deion instead of Coach Prime. Man, shut up.
Though this is the accusations against this guy.
Get out of here.
He refers to him as Deposition Deion, the Bruce Lee of BS, a false prophet. He makes phrases such as Planet Prime, the Deion Kool-Aid, and circus.
And so what? He's not allowed to do that? You know what I would like to see, and it won't happen, is all of those reporters and columnists band together and say, man, screw that. Let's go cover Colorado State. We ain't talking about this team.
Hold on. Just so people understand, like, Rob, there is a difference. A columnist can be impartial, and
yes,
he can say, like, a reporter is not supposed to do that.
Exactly.
They speak in the third person. A columnist speaks in the first person and gives their point of view.
And that's why I wanted to specify that, because this columnist is doing his job. That's what he's doing. That's what you see. And again, I'm glad you brought up Mike Preston, because we've seen Mike Preston do that in the past.
And what do people hate Preston?
People hate Preston because
he's opinionated.
But the Ravens are banning him because of it.
He gets paid to give his opinion.
Exactly. So and that's why I wanted, again, folks, that's why I'm not insulting your intelligence. I'm specifying columnists because he has a different job. Like Joe said, reporters are supposed to only give the facts. This is what happened. This is what we saw. Don't waver left to right from it. Only report what you saw. That's why you are a reporter. Columnists are no. Those are opinion-based things based on what you see. So based on what Keeler's seeing, he's saying that Deion Sanders is the Bruce Lee of BS.
And he is.
He's saying Deion Sanders is a false prophet. You don't have to like it. You don't. But guess what? You banning him, it's not going to stop him, banning him from asking questions, I should say. It's not going to stop him from writing this stuff. It's not going to you can't control what he writes. And if you don't let him ask questions, that means he's just going to write based on what he sees because he can't get to the bottom of it with you because you won't answer the question.
I think Deion's a trash individual, man, and I've felt this way for a long time, and I know people are going to be like, you're hating Deion. Why are you? No. Look, if you watch what this guy's done, he is. Like, I love the fact that they called him the Bruce Lee of BS. I didn't know if it came out of the New York Post or not, but, that's
no,
all he does.
No, this is the college
I know, but that's all he does. He speaks in terms of things that aren't even true. Like, the fact that he told a reporter that you're either with us or against it. No, that's not how this works. We're not supposed to sit here and pick you up and say all these nice things. And I go back to what somebody said to you, which is kind of like, it is a little upsetting when people were telling you. I mean, you could tell it. Yeah. Colorado's playing Colorado State.
Yeah, Colorado's playing Colorado State, and I was pulling for Colorado State. And somebody said to me, well, how can you not pull for the black coach? I said, have you seen Colorado State's coach?
He's black.
Not that it should matter, but if you're making it down to that, then Colorado State's coach.
People feel a certain way about Deion because they loved watching him play. Yeah. They love the bravado that he brings out. And look, he was an amazing athlete. There's no question about it. But he is a top-notch a-hole. Always has been.
I want to go back to something that Eddie Robinson Jr. said. Eddie Robinson Jr. is a coach in the SWAC conference. And after the game, they had a very, very confrontational handshake. And when Eddie Robinson Jr. was interviewed after the game, he said, he ain't SWAC, Southwest Athletic Conference. He ain't SWAC. And what he was saying by that is, he's all about Deion. He's not about building the conference. He's not about building anything. He's about Deion.
That's it. He's selfish.
What he was accusing him of. And Jeremy, your accusations are the same. He's just all about Deion.
Yeah. I mean, I've told my story, my encounter with him, where he went out of his way to absolutely be an a-hole for a 5-minute walk when I asked him to come on a radio show with John Ogden. And all he said to me over and over and over again, by the way, did I say over? Because he said it nonstop on our walk. If J.O. ain't there, I ain't doing your effing show. And I said, well, J.O.'s there. Yeah, but if he ain't, I ain't doing your effing show. Okay. If J.O. ain't there, I ain't doing it. The whole way over. And some people be like, oh, you. No, it was so unnecessary and so over the top. And then when we get there, he looks at me and winks at me and he goes, you're lucky. How am I lucky? I told you the entire time he was here, you jackass. I can't stand Deion. I hope that program falls flat on its face. And by the way, I don't even need to hope it because it's going to. He did the same thing this year that he's doing that he did last year. That team's going to be trash yet again. With two players that are worth talking about, his son, which I don't think he's going to be a great quarterback at the next level. He'll get drafted high. But there's some, and of course, Travis Hunter is one of the best players in college football. That kid is amazing.
I think his son is going to be a baller. But I want to go back to something. Deion was upset, very upset with Sonny Dykes. He was the coach for TCU because Sonny Dykes at a camp didn't recruit his son. And he said, he never gave my son a chance. Deion Sanders' first meeting with his new players at Colorado, he told them guys, you guys got to go ahead and get in the transfer portal because you ain't staying. I got better players coming. So,
and a lot of people ate that up and loved it, too.
You got upset with Sonny Dykes for doing the same thing that you accused him of doing, and that's not giving your son a chance. Those guys were never given a chance under you. Never. You told them the minute you walked in to transfer, basically because y'all some trash. I have some issues with him as well. How do I feel about you banning a columnist from asking questions? I'll say this. Just because it's your right doesn't make it right. And I would love to see what you just said, Jeremy, for those people to ban him. Hey, we ain't coming here.
What is it about people that love just bad people? Like this, like he is not a good guy. I don't care what anyone says. The fact that when you step into a room with college kids and just look around, people ate it up and loved it too. It's like, some of you ain't going to be here because you ain't worth it. Well, what made them not worth it? The fact that you wanted to make that statement and you think you can bring in somebody better? How bad were those players that you cast off because your sorry-ass team won 4 games?
He talks to you about building up young men, but he tells young men you ain't worth it.
Yeah, he breaks them down more than he builds them up, man.
I just... Ooh, I, Want to hear from you. 410-583-1057 is the number. We got shovels at 830, but on the other side, want to hear from you for our barbershop topic of the day. Did Colorado make the wrong move by banning your columnists from press conferences, from asking questions at press conferences? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. 747 in the AM, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Did Colorado make the right move by banning a columnist from asking questions at press conferences? That's our barbershop topic of the day. Chris in Parkville, what's up, man?
Hey, gentlemen, how's it going?
Doing well, how are you?
Good, thank you. I believe in karma, and I'd be interested in really knowing if it was the AD or if Deion was behind this. I just think it's a bad.
That absolutely was Deion.
We don't have anything to confirm it, or it's Deion. It's 100% Deion. That's him. That's who he is.
Bad karma, man. Bad karma.
It's the same thing, and I know there's some people out there that are probably trashing me for, oh, you just this and that with Deion, but realistically, just watch all the things that he's done.
I'm trashing just because. That's fine. It had nothing to do with this.
It's fine. Go tackle somebody, Deion. Sorry ass.
Let's go to Kevin, who is in Ellicott City. What's up, Kevin?
What's good, fellas? How you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Good. Great topic, man.
Thank you.
Jeremy, you're right, brother. I love Deion as a football player. It's quite a bit different trying to understand him as a coach, a leader, and obviously a front runner for attention of the year. You know what I mean?
Did you see him fizzle out and disappear at the end of last year? We didn't see him out there boasting and talking about his team. All we heard was his sons at halftime when they're up 35-0 on Stanford. Look what I'm doing. And then what happened?
They lost.
They got their asses kicked in the second half.
Yeah. That was.
Good job, coach.
Paul Feinbaum, I love Paul Feinbaum, number one. A big-time college football guy. He's really an SEC guy. I don't make no bones about that. Mm-hmm. I watch him as much as I can. This is what he had to say about the situation.
I find this whole thing to be disgraceful. Deion may want to talk about love and joy, and that's been the cornerstone of what he seems to be spewing out. But treating reporters like this seems like we're in some autocratic country. This is not America. And the fact that it's in his contract is really even more absurd. But don't forget, he did this at Jackson State. This is a trait of Deion Sanders. He wants to have it his way. And I find him to be a bully and a hypocrite. And quite frankly, as someone who has been a fan of his throughout his entire career, even at Colorado, I am mortified by his actions.
That's Paul Feinbaum, calls him a bully and a hypocrite.
Do you remember what we were saying last year? Like, again, for all the things that people want to talk about, I wanted Colorado to be good because I thought it would be great for college football.
You said that.
I've said it multiple times. And after watching this past season and then seeing how he reacts and he treats people, hell no, man. I hope he falls flat on his damn face. I hope in a year or two he's out of Colorado doing exactly what I think he was going to do. People are like, is he going to take the Florida State job? Yeah, but what's he going to do there? 3 years and be out because he's going to try to pull this same crap? Come on, man.
Let's go to Todd and Rising Sun. What's up, Todd?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning to you too, man.
I think we're just paying way too much attention to this guy, and the more you talk about him, you're just kind of feeding into what he likes.
Yeah, but this is what we do, man. We have to talk about it. It's a sports talk show.
Yeah. If you don't talk about it, then we'll be like, how can you not talk about Deion Sanders?
Yeah.
You know, talk about it and give your opinion is a lot better than ignoring it. You can't ignore it. It's a big story, national story. And on top of that, we're both in the media. And you treated the guy in the media like this. It's got to be talked about.
How about we all went after John Harbaugh with the way he treated Brent Harris at halftime of a preseason game, where he's asking a question and he just went off. You're like, the hell's that about? That is not how you treat one of the reporters. Deion's doing what? He's banning a guy. He's banning a guy from coming in because he said something negative about him. Come on, man.
Let's go to Nick in Baltimore. What's up, Nick?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Good. Good.
Listen, Cowboys fan here. Big, big fan of Deion. Don't get me wrong, but you can't be that loud your entire life.
and have this thin a skin. I mean,
you can't take the heat. Get out the kitchen.
Exactly. I think he nailed it. Like, it's the same. There's nothing wrong with being boisterous or being loud. But when it comes back the other side of it, you don't get to just, you know, Heisman somebody and say, well, you're not going to be here anymore because you say negative stuff about us. Well, maybe you deserve to have negative stuff said about you. I mean, it's obvious. And what Paul Feinbaum, I don't care if you like Feinbaum or not, what he said was the most appropriate thing about Deion Sanders. And that's a guy saying, it's the same thing I said.
Bullying hypocrite.
Yes, 100%.
410-583-1057. Let's go to Greg in Columbia. What's up, Greg?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Two things I consider in assessing this situation is that Mr. Coach Prime is a very experienced man in a game of football. He has experience. He has experience in a game of football that most people will never achieve.
As a player, right?
The other thing, as a player, even as being the type of player as he is and being a coach, how many players have you seen that have had the notoriety and success that he had?
Greg, do you know how many players I've seen go on to be terrible coaches? Lots of them.
The other thing I assess is he is trying to win a national championship. So when you at Colorado, so when you combine those two things, he is going to do things that may be out of the ordinary that are going to contribute to his winning that national championship.
Greg, you try to be positive all the time. This is probably your worst phone call ever. Like, it doesn't. What you're saying doesn't make any sense with you. He's trying to do things to win a national championship by banning a reporter. What does that have to do with anything?
In football, unlike most other people, and this is what he feels is going to take for him to win a national championship. I'd like to see him be successful.
Yeah, you remember when Michigan won a national championship and they banned three reporters? Yeah, it worked out well for them. No, man, it's Greg. That what you said is the most insanely idiotic thing I've ever heard. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul. Now, by the way, that's from Billy Madison.
Oh, we know Billy Madison. I just think it's
appropriate. I didn't want Greg to think I'm just.
I think it's appropriate the ending to that.
What did Greg say that made any sense to what we've talked about? You like Deion. You want to see him do well. I said I wanted to see that program do well because I think it's good for college football. He's a terrible football coach.
Jeremy, I saw Martin Lawrence do this in Bad Boy. I don't know if your arms are long enough to reach that far back to get the tip of your ears.
Yeah. But Woosa.
I don't know if your arms can reach that far back to get the tip of your ears, but
like,
love them.
Again, with all due respect to Greg, I should have said that before I trashed him. Like, he tries to be positive. You can't put a positive spin on this any which way. None.
You're not going to let him. Steven Lutherville. What's up, Steve?
He's just dumb.
Hey, guys.
What's up, man?
Rob, what's going on?
Nothing
Jeremy,
much, man.
Have mercy on your soul. Shout out to the commission. Hope he gets better very fast so we can get back on. But just real quick on this Deion thing. You know, I love Deion. I grew up a Deion fan.
Me too.
He's larger than life. But you know what? When it comes to him taking care of kids and coaching and all the kids that look up to him, he's got to put on a better persona because it's bad for football. It's bad for coaching. He needs to reel it in a little because it's real bad for kids. I don't think he does on his own and all his braggadocious and that being Deion. It's cool. Deion's Deion, but not when it comes to coaching kids.
Hey, thanks a lot, Steve. I love Deion. I don't love this part of it. I don't. We give out shovels at 8:30, but on the other side, it's film study, man. Mm. Maybe Jeremy will calm his ass down. Kim McCusick joins us in studio up next on The Fan.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.